see it.
Welcome to the Uncle Hack Podcast, where dudes pretty much just talk dude shit.
Oh, baby, welcome to another episode of the Uncle Hack Podcast, back again for another week. Oh, back to life, back to reality. Upcoming stand-up dates, May 23rd, Camrose, Alberta, May 24th, Rocky Mountain House, May 25th, Westlock, Alberta, May 26th, Viva Las Vegas. May 30th, Comox, British Columbia. May 31st, Nanaimo, British Columbia. June 1st, Victoria, British Columbia. July 20th, Grand Prairie, Alberta. July 24th, San Jose, California. July 26th, Los Angeles, California. Yay. July 28th, Oxnard, California. Yay. August 17th, Thunder Bay. And October 19th, Fort St. John, British Columbia. Those that are await the Edmonton date, just waiting on that. And we will keep you updated. Apart from that, life is good. Life is grand. It is great, isn't it? Peace, love, positivity. Enjoyed myself there a little too much. You know, we postpone the Sunday. I know this is going to sound horrible. This is going to sound bad. Postpone the show, right? It's playoff season. Well, you know, we've been going hard on the road and, you know, your boy went to the game, got treated with some tickets from a special little someone, that, you know what I'm saying? Fucking life is good. Went down, you know, fellas, accepting your age is like, you know, I don't frequent bars anymore. Why? I don't know. I think it's just I'm letting the young guys get after it again, and I don't have the same steam. You know, I'm not packing the same punch. I got to learn how to drink in my 30s. You know, that's hard because you get coaxed into fucking thinking that you're one of the young guys again. You know, you get around them, and that's the joy of, like, there's a lot of things that occur when men gather, and it's brilliant, it's beautiful, it's sheer magic is what it is. Just boys getting together. You don't even, you know, the game was great. Apart from the outcome, game was great. You know, you get guys hanging out with one another. Dudes rule. That's all I'm gonna leave it at that. There's just things that occur in a hockey rink that when you're a dude, you get it. You know? You can't explain it. It's just magic. It's fellas uniting under it's just a unification of dudes through sport. You know, you're chirping the opposite team. Yeah, you don't want to get violent. True sports guys don't. They realize it's dumb to get violent. It's dumb to throw fists over, you know, a team that you're supporting, right? You bought tickets to this. To throw fists at a hockey game, you got to be mentally ill. What the hell we do in fist fighting? It's all about the chirping. It's all about the chirping. And one of the best places to get some real good rips in is the pisser. A good pisser chirp fest going on is it's next level. Just sheer banter with the boys. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Sometimes you can throw in your 2 cents. Sometimes you just sit back, but it's just a lovely thing to witness. Some of the best laughs you'll ever have at a hockey rink are in the pisser. And it is a thing of beauty the way men can communicate and not have to come to blows, and just the understanding, hey, we're here, it's the playoffs, we gotta get underneath one another's skin. That's what this is about. That's what this whole thing is about. And then after the game, you know, I decided to have a couple beers. I'm having a few beers. I'm feeling a little loose. So I got to go. I got to go check out what's happening in the city, right? You got to go for a little gander under the bright lights on a Sunday. What a dumb decision, you know? Horrible decision on my behalf. You're just flatlining your whole week, getting charaded on a Sunday like that. Just pants pissing drunk. I can't, you know, and the ego of myself just gets in the way of the current age that I am. It does. I noticed that. You know, you're standing in the bar, you start shooting the shit with, you know, a couple of younger guys, and what are they doing? They're getting after it. They can bounce back easier. I got 10 years, if not more, on a few of these young cats, and they're hanging around, and you're just talking jazz, talking about the game, chirping one another. What do you do? That classic horse shit. Get to know one another. Hey, let's have a shot. Let's have a shot. All right, yeah. I'm a few in me here to think that shots are a brilliant idea. 33, trying to shoot whiskey like I'm a young man, you know? Like I'm trying to just remove all lead from the pencil and just dry erase this shit. What the hell are we doing? That doesn't even make sense, but you know what I mean. I had to take a good hard look in the mirror Monday and think, and just like, what are you doing with yourself? You know, you can't be doing this. I come home and I'm fucking puking. I'm hugging porcelain. I'm hugging porcelain because I think I can throw down with the young bucks. Unbelievable. Had to give my head a hard shake Monday, you know? Had to give myself a what the hell, who the hell do you think you are? Just a scolding. I had to be my own father that day. Oh yeah, you thought you were cool, did you? Just talking shit in the mirror. You got to do that from time to time. You got to remind yourself though. You got to shock the system, boys. And I know, I every week, you never know what you're getting with this podcast. And that's the joy of it. You know, a few weeks ago, we're yelling at you. Oh, you got to get in shape. You got to get in the gym. You got to do all that. You got to. That's the joy of this. It's just the ramblings of a maniac, whatever I'm feeling this week. And I tell you, whoa, gross. And I tell you, that felt nice. A good heater always feels good in the moment, you know, getting cruised up, hair in the wind, what's ever left of it. Just peeling back a couple of them. You hear that? Oh, nothing. And just getting gouged. $20 a beer at a hockey game. $20 a frickin' beer. You just shake your head at it. Aren't you getting me enough? Haven't you gouged me enough? And everywhere you look, hey, do you want to donate? Donate. Skim a little off the beers you just donate off that. Take the cans in. I give you 3 cans. Donate that. The hell out of here. Trying to sit back. I'm going bankrupt just trying to have a beer. Went solo to the game. That was a different feeling, you know. Just went, yeah, fuck it, whatever. Just go. See what it's all about. Enjoy a little playoff atmosphere. It was great. The city is electric right now. That's what I like about Edmonton. Any city where a sports team is, you know, it's got a chance or there's hope surrounding it. And it doesn't matter the sport. It's just the fact that you're getting out. You're a part of the city. There's like an electric energy about it and uniting people. But the thing that just like grosses me out is just the price gouging that comes with it. You know, you want to go to the game. And I hummed and hawed about it. I hummed and hawed about it and then waited till the puck drop of the first period before even heading down. So I only got to see the second and third, but got great seats for a cheap price for buying them after puck drop. I recommend that. But there is just like, the city comes alive. I've been in a, you know, you go to a new town, and if there's a team that's really hot at that moment, and a game night hits, and like, oh, it's fireworks. It's fireworks when they win. It's uncontrollable. It's just this intoxicating happiness through people. It's something that truly doesn't matter. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. We invest our time because that's the one thing we can grasp onto with like some form of hope. If they win, you know, my life might turn around. You can put that in the air. You can put all this false made up bullshit in front of you to like mask the problems that truly exist in your life. And I like that about it. I do. I like that about it. You can escape a little bit and it's good. I know we want to shit on, you know, I know like, you want to shit on it, but in the same time you want to be a part of it. That's the fucking point, isn't it? Just to get intoxicated. Pants shitting drunk, but I'm fucking hugging porcelain at 33 years old because I'm getting all jazzed up over an Oilers game. Couldn't believe myself. Hard look in the mirror, gave myself some fatherly advice, scolding myself. But I tell you, you know, the greatest thing about being a guy is you can just go out and you just, you know, you meet other dudes. I'm at the age now where it's like, I'm not finding a pack of wolves to go hunt down a gazelle. You know, I'm beyond that. There's not too many ladies out on a Sunday night. They got shit to do. They got priorities. The ladies that are out on a Sunday night are young girls and they're looking well past me. I don't even register on their radar. I'm a ghost of Kiev to them, you know? Try and hop on a young lady's radar like I still got it, you know? I know. You got to hang up the axe and blades at some point. And that's the time where you just, you know, the young guys, a good assist is always nice. I'll take an assist. A nice little home game assist. Hey, nice. This guy's leaving with one. That's good. Nice to see a young guy get some points on the board. You know, you gotta settle into that role as the rusty old veteran. Just a playoff character, a big room guy. Come in there and boost morale when it's a little low. And I gotta settle into that role. 33. I can't be, you know what I mean? Like you're looking at a 21-year-old like, Jesus Christ, get away from me. You know, it's a hi. Hey, have you met this guy? That's how I have to interact. Hey, have you met? Oh, this is your boyfriend. Perfect. I don't gotta awkwardly figure out what the hell are we gonna talk about so I can exit the conversation at some point. You know, just kind of Irish goodbye it. Wait for an awkward pause and just walk away. Because you don't want to be rude and just walk away mid-conversation. But you don't even want to be in there, so you're looking for exits. It's bad. It's bad. And that's the joy of like being this age. And you go out on a day like that, you know, it's like, oh, get a real job. Ah, wow. Come on. You're not going to take up a good Sunday night heater, a good long weekend Sunday night heater. I know it's not a long weekend, but roll with me here. Getting cruised on a Sunday. Whew. The Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. And I'm over there slugging barley soups like they're about to be out of fashion. You know, I was making a fashion statement. Taking a lonely Uber home with a donair. Unbelievable. Here I am sitting backseat, awkward 20-minute drive home in an Uber with just a donair. And a half eaten sack of fries, only to get home and realize, like, oh boy, we're not getting that donair in us. That's unfortunate. Can't even tell you the last time I had a donair, you know? Hammered, just waltzing around. I had to cash my chips at about 110. I cashed in at 110. That was the most adult thing of me. Can't believe it, but it is. The game's changing once you get a little older. And I think like a lot of guys that, you know, tune in, you understand what I mean. You can't be going out. You know, you look like a fucking dork if you're trying to talk up some young ladies. You know, you look like a dork. I felt like a dork just being there, you know, being in their vicinity. I had to like scoot away. And they're like, all right, who's got like fucking, it sounds gay, but it's a much better time just yapping with the fellas. It's a much better time yapping with the fellas. You get the jokes rolling, your ball busting. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It is fun, though. I like, you know, I like being in the environment every now and then. Every now and then, it's good to go and, like, check in. See what's going on. See how the young guys are. See, watch them get to work, you know? They're out there trying to throw around some game. It's good. It's fun. I'm not trying to say this in a creepy way or anything like that. I'm not trying to allude like, oh, I just love looking at the young guys out there. Oh, boy. No, it's just nice to see it. And like the nostalgia comes back and you can put yourself in his shoes of watching him get rejected or falling around some little lass all around the bar. Like, you know, you're just in lust for that moment, fueled by cheap shots of Pink Whitney or whatever you're shooting these days. The liquor's got a grip on you and it's trying to guide your dick into that little ay ay ay. And you see it all happen in front of you. You know, you're witnessing it, you know, you feel like a proud father in a way, sitting back and you're watching the young guys get to work. Oh, it's nice. It is nice. And you just gotta find your corner with men your age and then you hunker down. You find a perch. You know, there's no doing laps. Remember that? Remember that in the day, doing a lap around the bar? At 33, there's no doing laps. You don't do that. You gotta be insane. The only lap you're doing is like trying to figure out where the pisser is, if it's a new place. And if you're smart, you find a place where you're just far away from the bathroom so you don't seem like a creep, where you're watching women in and out and all the, you know, like you're just far away where you're not creepy, but close enough that it's a short walk, you know, like you can see your table from the moment you come around that corner where the door is. And it's nice. It's all right there. It's all nice and close, but you perch up, you know? You're like a lion in the shade. You just, life is nice. You find your little corner in the bar and you kind of fall into a shadow with other gentlemen of your age. And you don't leave that spot. That's the funny thing. It's like once you hit over, boys, you hit over, starts coming into your fucking age, 30, 31, anywhere up from there. It's just finding a little location and locking it down. You know, you don't need a lot of area. You don't got to cover a lot of ground. You just got to be in that area. You can't be a predator. You can't be lurking around. If something, you know, if one falls in your vicinity and you're like, oh, nice. And this little gazelle is just want, and this little gazelle just is offering her to the, you know, you get what I mean? Like you can't go out fucking hunting. One comes up, hey, you're okay. Not that this happens, but every now and then you're right place, right time. And it all unfolds for you. It's great. And you think about those moments, right? That little moment, right? Like we're discussing, like one little gazelle injures its knee in front of you, and you're like, well, we got a meal tonight, you know? And everybody's passing it up, and you're looking around, like, are you fucking blind, lady? No. You take advantage of that. It's beautiful. I will say, one thing that got me going in is welders. Welders crack me up. Probably the most obnoxious people on the planet, welders. I like them. I'm not about to knock, because you need somebody to like break the ice in weird situations that just doesn't understand, like, you're being a little too loud, right? They're like the autistic folk of the blue collar world in a way. Just don't understand social cues whatsoever. Out there yelling. I had one guy sitting beside me, right? And here he's just like, yeah, this is something that I overhear in his conversation, but like, I'm not trying to overhear it. Like, he's talking loud enough that four tables down can hear him. And out of nowhere, yeah, when you get your red seal, I'll have to take you to the Robin Tug. That's what I hear. I bounce off a few walls before it hits my ears. It's like, buddy, can you fucking relax over there? Talking about getting whacked off. I respect it that you got no shame whatsoever, but in the same breath, can you cool it? And something about being a welder, you just can't resist telling anybody that you're not, like, you know, you just can't, the urge to just push that feeling of letting everybody know that you're a welder doesn't exist. Because immediately, fucking welding, man. You know, just a Fort McMurray fucking governor. Got some marching powder and we'll tear this town down. You know what I'm saying? Those guys kill me. They are, they're fun to a degree. They're a lot to handle in such a little time. Very arrogant. You have to be. You have to be. Why, I don't know that trade of all trades just attracts those types of gents. One day I will figure it out, but I just don't get, what is it? Is it something about having that power of electricity between your hands? And like, if that was the case, why aren't electricians like that? Well, because they're not fucking piecing together. I'm putting metal together, bro. Fuck. You understand what I'm doing? Where's like the barrier to entry just so low? But you can't even say that welders are dumb. They're not necessarily dumb. Maybe like personality wise, but most of them, there's a lot going on when you're running that rod, baby. You get those fuckers in public. You can spot them from a mile away. It's just a spotted like albino leopard. A very exotic animal. And you look at it and you're like, eh. You think it's rare, but it's not that rare, you know? Like a snow leopard. You hear of them. You know where they are. You hear them.
Oh, boy.
But just yelling right across the mouth. Hey!
Yeah, when you get your red seal, I'll take you to get whacked off. I got my red seal and that's what we did. And it's like, are you sure?
Or did you just go pay for yourself to get whacked off? Did somebody pay for you to go get whacked off? You went down to the Rubbin Tug. Somebody took you down there. Are you sure? You're talking a big game here. I like that they will confidently lie. I kind of appreciate that. The confidence behind their lies. And we'll look you dead in the eye. Dead in the eye. And let it fly.
Oh yeah, well I've been fucking welding for 4 years. You think I'm a pussy? I'm a fucking welder. What does that got to do with being a pussy?
Nobody said you were a pussy, buddy. You gotta calm the hell down. Speaking of calming down, like there's just, ladies, we gotta have a chat. There's too much, you guys are getting out of control with this beauty stuff, you know? It's getting out of control. At this point, like, if we told you adrenochrome was available, you would slurp that out. You would drink the blood of children just to look a few years younger, wouldn't you? And this is what I'm talking about right here is the headline we're about to get into here. Three women diagnosed with HIV after vampire facials at an unlicensed spa. Now we'll look at, we're going to listen to this because it's interesting.
The juice is actually running through your veins as we speak. That's the. Is it possible the fountain of youth is actually running through your veins as we speak? That's the theory behind the vampire facial.
The vampire
from a vial of your own blood are used to help rejuvenate the skin on your face.
Basically, take it out from this tube, and then we'll put it on a
micro-needling
device, and then we'll just inject it into her skin.
And this is how they inject it. With a needle gun. This is a relatively new idea, so the benefits are not definitive yet. But we do know it's specific to the skin only.
I really don't see it being used for the treatment of hollowing around the eyes or nasolabial folds. I know it's been marketed for that. I personally don't believe that it works for that. But I think if you're using it to improve the quality of the skin, to rejuvenate the skin, I think it works well in conjunction with microneedling. That's why it's called the vampire fish.
Yeah, well, I
can... Can you guys relax? Can you, whatever happened to just gracefully aging, you know? What happened to that? Is it done? Are we just, what's next? What is next? We're going to be, and then you want me, you know, then these conspiracy theories come out and it's like, well, everybody in Hollywood's on adrenochrome and you want me not to believe it, right? You know, well, that's a conspiracy theory. But then we're like, we're knocking on the goddamn door of like beauty standards with women with this, right? We're damn near there. The only difference is it's your own blood, right? It's your own. But if we were to tell you, like, well, who was it? Sandra Bullock's on Ellen? And she's like, oh, yeah, it's made from the foreskin of babies. And they just throw it out right in front of you. They just say, and you'll happily wipe cream made from foreskin from children on your face. Without even batting an eye. Talking about it on Ellen. And you'll go in here. And just get your face shot up. You know, and then we have the then you'd have the audacity to be like, I would never date a guy with face tattoos. You just needled the hell out of your own face. You just put more needles in that fucking face than an alt girl who works at Spencer's, for Christ's sakes, or a Hot Topic. For what? It's insanity. It's insanity. Why can't we just, can we just, you know, the reason I put this in here is like, I'm seeing myself. I'm accepting where I'm at. Okay. I'm not a hunk. I'm not walking around town with the dick hanging out and every lady's looking to swing off of it. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. I'm not that guy. I'm, you know, maybe a couple years ago, you know, but I'm aging now and horribly. I'll accept it. I'm willing to accept it. It's not going well, you know. I'm tired all the time. I finally know what, you know, what your dad was always talking. Oh, I'm just exhausted all the time, you know, and I don't know what happens. I don't know what the body does. I wish I did. I wish somebody would just tell me exactly how did we get here as men? How do you just wake up tired all the time? You could get a full night's sleep and you're still exhausted. How? Why? I change my diet. I try and eat accordingly so that way I can reap whatever health benefits I can get. Still gassed. Absolutely just fucking dogged. But I accept it. I accept that. That this is just going to have to be life for the next little while. You know? I wish it was socially acceptable to just like get the Punisher treatment on my face so that way, you know, like there's just, I don't know what it is with guys that'll go and get like Botox and whatnot. And there's something off there. There's something off. I just like, I've always had a difficult time finding common ground with those types of guys of being like fascinated with their looks and whatnot. It just like, you know, and I mean, like, it's one thing to go to the gym and look good and all that. And like, you know, you work for that, but I'm saying like cosmetic surgery wise, you know, if you're out getting fucking Botox and all that crazy stuff of just injecting shit in your face, lip injections, that, all that. I know guys that are plumping up. You know, you see these fellas. Just accept it. You're going to get old. You're going to get old. And you put yourself through hell and back. I don't get it. And then only to go out and drop about, what, another $700 on fucking MAC Cosmetics products? It makes no sense to me. Just make it make sense. Well, we don't do it for you, we do it for us. All right. Are you sure about that? Who are you looking young for? Are you trying to compete in the meat market? Is that what's happening? Listen, I'll tell you what. I'm out of the meat market. I found that out the hard way. You're walking, no ladies are looking over. Oh, hi. Or giving you the double glance or smiling back. They scoff at you when you get to this age. You know, they go, especially in the city. You think I'm in the top 10? You think I'm a fucking number one draft pick at the local watering hole as I'm walking around pissed to the gills? 33 years old, drunk as a skunk. Who's this alcoholic? Yeah, I'm sure I'd love to let this asshole lick my box. Get out of here. This dork walking around with his little jersey on, like, hey, oh, I went to the game. I supported the team. Oh, wow. Such a turn on. Get the fuck away from me, you know? And you get the vampire just suck the blood right out of you. Don't you guys lose enough blood in a month? Don't you lose enough? Tell me. Is this overboard? Is this just self-mutilation at this point? It's sadistic. It's twisted.
Get that, yeah. Are you good, Marlene?
I'm great.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good. Now, closing.
Are you good, Marlene? And you hear that thing. I'm great. I'm great. Just twisted. I guess the equivalent is like, you know, your dad, when he needs to get off a little bit, you know, the sex life is dried up a little bit at home, you know. They've become merely just partners that lay in bed and watch a Netflix series together. The conversation is kind of there, kind of not. Just a couple updates, you know. They treat each other like personal assistants. Hey, can you help me out with this test? You know, we're not fucking like we when you met. The idea that that's just supposed to be life, I think. You know, everybody, you're running to TikTok and everybody's got this relationship advice and whatnot. And it's like, well, if it's not fucking sunshine, rainbows and magic and butterflies in my stomach for the rest of my life, I don't want it anymore, you know? And you think to yourself, like, is it like, I look at some of the best marriages, they look like they don't hate one another, but there's like a little bit of disdain there. There's some dislike. They tolerate one another. They've cashed it in. They've come to the realization that you're my person, I'm your person. Let's just, like, it's just healthy banter. You get to lay in bed with this person. You've put in some hard years with them. You got through some tough times, you know, and then you get these assholes. You get these assholes then that hop on social media and they want to be fucking relationship advice influencers and they start talking all this nonsense, you know. You can't settle for nothing. If he's not doing backflips off the world, fucking, I don't know what building, CN Tower, down and landing in front of you with a bouquet of Lego roses. And those chocolates that you really like from that that store on 153rd Street. They cost about $97 a box. Handmade in store. You know, if he's not standing outside of your fucking car window blasting your favorite song every morning as you head off to work, he ain't the one. He ain't the, like, I don't get the world we're in right now. The overload of information that we're supposed to believe is all true, I think, is just completely twisted our whole reality into believing something that's totally false. Our survival instincts are totally removed. The meaning of a relationship is like, it's tilted. It's different now. You know, it's not the 90s anymore. And I think that's why millennials are having a difficult time on trying to figure this all out. Cause you got this new, you got the Gen Zs. They're coming up with this stuff. They're navigating it. And not to say that they don't have their problems with it as well. Like, we're hearing that male loneliness is at an all-time high. Females now are like, oh my God, why? Well, you're sold a lie. I don't need no man. All that whole thing. And then, like, you have influencers that you follow just to, you know, make that whole I hate men fucking bullshit. The one that fascinates me is that Drew Ruffalo, I don't know what her last name is, but just constantly with the men suck, men this, but then she's in a happy relationship. She's selling the ladies a lie, selling them a lie to be rich. This is what I mean. Influencers just dupe you. They got you by the fucking, just toe hooking you and dragging you along this this ride that you don't even want to be on. It's like a broken down Splash Mountain, and all the side attractions, they don't work. Like half the mechanics are blown on it, so you get like a Mickey that half winks at you. The chairs are falling apart. There's rust all through the screws. Like, you feel like you're going to die on this ride. You're coming down the bottom of the hill and like the water gets in your mouth and you're like, oh boy, I got hepatitis. You know what I mean? Everything's falling apart. You want to believe that you're having a good time, but it's not. And you just allow like that, you know, your sunshine is stolen from you because it's all lies. And that's why I respect the older generation that have stuck by one another through, like, you know, like your grandparents didn't get divorced. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. One of my grandpa's been the legend of the show. He's been divorced like five or six. We don't even know how many times he's been married at this point. And then I had another set of grandparents that had been together like until one had passed away, you know? But they get a lot, like, they just, they were, you know, one needs to be happy and one needs to be grumpy. That's just how that works. One has to be a bubbly personality and the other one has to be like an extrovert and an introvert. And then like the yin and the yang, those, like, that meshes so well. My grandpa was just like, you know, he always quick. He always had something. Like, she, you know, my grandma would be giggly and all that, and he would just be like, oh, here we go again. You know what I mean? Like, it just worked. Grumpy grandpa, happy grandma. That is the perfect. They set the fucking bricks down for us to travel on that road, and then all we got is influencers telling us that this is all a lie. Grandpa and grandma had it figured out. They had the best era. You buy a house for 13 cents and they just let it slip away. I don't blame them. We all want to be mad at the boomers like they didn't say. Why wouldn't you? Why would you not want to be selfish in that time? Give me that opportunity. I'd do the same thing. I would let it all fall apart underneath me and I'd take advantage of everything I could in that time. You know, why not? Vampire facials. Unbelievable. I had a disgusting thought in my head, and I hope you had it too when I heard that. And it's like, what? So if she squirts during her shark week, is that a vampire facial? Like, we're leaving the name of this too loose for it to get gross. And that's all it took was that vampire facial.
Putting your eyes through a vampire facial is probably a pretty good idea, because blood will be drawn.
No shit.
Actually, a little bit of blood needs to happen, which means that it's going to the depth that I want it to go,
right,
which is kind of in the mid-dermis.
Right. Do you see the results fairly quickly?
You know, that's a very good question. I think the jury is out. It's not 100% sort of confirmed that, you know, for some people they say it works beautifully, others say it doesn't work.
And what is Marlene?
Just fucking snake oil salesman. I'm telling you, no wonder, like, dudes were getting in the, you know, they got gay dudes doing makeup, like, the business end of that. I can only imagine, like, what was that guy, Jeffree Star? A gay dude was selling the most makeup to women, just doing his own makeup on TikTok or YouTube or whatever. Snake oil salesman. This is what's going to make you stand out. You can be a star in your own world. Just telling you bullshit. Come in here, have 5,000 needles poke you in the eyeball for the off chance that this may or may not work. You know?
Our patient think
you've done this before?
One time.
And did you notice a difference?
Yes, definitely.
What difference did you notice?
Smoother, less rosacea. How are you doing, Marlene?
Good. And it's getting more
blood
popular,
pouring down her face.
Despite the fact vampire is in its name.
It's a very seductive term, I think, because vampires are supposed to live very long lives, and they're supposed to be youthful and remain young forever.
Unbelievable. So that's what you guys are doing. And this is what it's landed, three young ladies. Three women contracted HIV after receiving a trendy skincare treatment in New Mexico, according to a detailed report of the outbreak investigation. In a new report from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, the agency shared details how several people were likely infected with HIV after given vampire facials at a now shuttered VIP spa in Albuquerque. Just a roll of the dice for an off chance you can look a few years younger. I can't believe you poor ladies. And then this, to follow it up, this is the tips that you're getting. First off, we got to lie to you, try and make you think that you're going to look younger. And then they got articles like this one. My top tips to avoid getting stung in a divorce by money psychotherapist Vicky Raynal. Why you should never feel guilty about nabbing your share of pension are experts' essential advice on how to get your fair share and the right way to say sorry. To say sorry. Pain, loss, sadness, and anger are only some of the feelings that divorce evokes. It's a process that involves both conflict and uncertainty, and it fills most couples with anxiety. As a psychotherapist, I see couples in the throes of their own divorce who are still talking of the impact of their parents breaking up many years earlier. That can make discussion about financial split fraught with complex emotion on both sides. Money is one of the key aspects of divorce negotiations, and it can highlight areas which have remained undiscussed in a relationship. At the start of divorce proceedings, you and your partner might find you are in very different financial situations. I heard that, sister. In heterosexual couples, the gender pay gap and the traditional division of childcare has historically meant that the men enters divorce with more assets, a larger pension, and greater income than the women. This is slowly changing, but for simplicity here, I assume this is the case. Here are tips to help you reflect on how you approach finances before making choices which will last a lifetime. Set yourself up. We got Vicky Raynal giving you the lowdown. Now, fellas, we're bringing this up so you can play a little defense. I'm not ashamed to say that I want her to pay for what she did to us, a man told me. He wasn't a sadistic psychopath, but a man in great deal of pain, feeling completely devastated by the betrayal of his wife. Because of the painful emotions that you might have led the relationship to an end, many people use divorce as the opportunity to make the other person pay for what they did. Before you declare war and embark on the costly journey, this is what you will take on. It's worth wondering. Are you hoping the prize money will compensate for the emotional pain? Three tips for women divorcing. Here we go. Don't expect his money to compensate for everything. Why, thank you. You know, divorce, marriage is such an odd thing in this time, you know? Like, it's not, matrimony now is, it's not in a religious manner no more. It's more just, it's almost just theatrical at this point. It's just, you get your day, you get to feel, you know, like all attention's on you one more time. The magic, you know, I wish we were, hold on, you know, with like, you're looking at the divorce rate skyrocket, and I think that, again, we're back to being sold this lie. I think that a lot of us, you know, and I'm not saying that marriage isn't horrible. I'm not about to sit here and shit on marriage. I know plenty of married people. They're happy. But I think the meaning has been lost a little bit where, you know, let's go back to grandma and grandpa's era. The religion was in the household at that point. They still went to church on Sundays. We don't necessarily do that in this time frame. We've kind of stepped away from that religious spiritual aspect, and I think we're slowly being led back to it because the materialistic way of living life is not very fulfilling. You're constantly changing or chasing almost. It's just like false. It's like fake magic. It's fake magic. And marriage kind of has that as well. Is like you have this, I think what I see, is there's like, in some circumstances, like an obligation to get married. Maybe you knocked up the girl, or, you know, you just like, oh, all right, I kind of, we both fucked up here, but maybe I owe you one. I don't know how to, you know, I don't know how to make this right. Hey, we had a little fun one night, and you know, your boy decided to leave the fire hose in there and just like hit the tap wide open, and here we are. Now you and I got to raise a kid, and we barely even know each other's favorite color. We haven't even watched our favorite movies together. This was a total accident, you know. We hired this guy to come in and do inventory. We hired him off of like a back page or some shit like that, and it was like a Facebook fucking looking for work page. Or this guy started telling me that, you know, he knocked this girl up at a host party and they're keeping it, and You know, they're trying to figure it out and they're trying to navigate the waters. You know, this is his first kid. He's a younger guy, 24, 25, right around there. Just got let go from a job. Wasn't the brightest individual. You know, we brought him into account and he could barely do that. And, you know, this guy, God bless his heart, you know, means well. Dumb people like that, you know, if they're angry, they're a burden. But when they're happy, you're like, eh, you can't fault the guy. When he's a silly kind of, you know, he like doesn't quite get it type dude. You know, we message him and be like, hey, where are you? Are you coming or do we just like, don't worry about it? He's like, oh, no, I'm 5 minutes away. I'm just getting on the bus. Whereabouts are you? The bus is like, what do you mean? First off, he says a location that's like a clearly half an hour, 45 minutes away. And then he says 5 minutes away. So clearly he doesn't understand time. He got out of the, you know, I can't imagine why this guy got fired is what I'm saying. You know, fired from a job where he was literally just running a goon spoon is what he said to me. It was something like they installed water lines or something like that. And he just kind of had to run a shovel while somebody... I think it was like drilling holes with like a bobcat and he just had to scoop the dirt and he just like couldn't even do that, you know, couldn't even do that. So it's interesting to me. Then, a guy like that, you know, he tells me the story that he accidentally knocks up this girl at a house party and it's like, that's a romance made in every trailer park, isn't it? You just dump a hot one at a house party and you're like, oh, we'll figure it out. And like, yeah, maybe there you owe her a ring or something like that. Or I don't know. I don't know what they do. Is that like a shotgun wedding after that? Like, is that how like peasant families were just formed back in the Renaissance era? You know, I don't know these things. I'm fucking one more hit in the head away from being that guy, you know? I'm right there with him. I can't sit here and like I'm sitting here trying to give you advice on how to like dodge a fucking financial crisis from a divorce and like in the cold hard reality of it, I'm the worst guy to give any advice to. Never been married. I got no kids. Okay, so I'm just sitting here. I just see these things happen. I see a lot of like my friends that have went through this and it sucks because you're like, ah, man, you know, like my bitterness in my 20s that of, you know, just like I had my own my own views and opinions on marriage because I watched my divorced parents hate one another for 10 years of my youth. You know, so when you witness that and you see it and it's like, oh, money's involved and this guy and like the name calling and it's like, oh, yeah, no, my parents don't get along. This is what a healthy environment looks like for a young kid to grow up in. It's just like two adults that just can't put their bullshit aside for the kids, you know? And poor me, like, no, we're not looking for that. Poor me. No, but then I just see that, and then I see my friends kind of like going down that same path, and you're like, buddy, just take a step back. You don't have to do this quite yet. It's a big decision. It's a massive decision, you know? Maybe just hold off for a little bit. I was that guy with that advice. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying think. Like, don't get pressured into doing something that you don't want to do. Or maybe it works out. Maybe it does. Like, I'm just saying, put some time in. You know? You're 23. If you think it's the right decision, I'm here as a friend. You know? I'm here as a friend. And I was that guy. So I was hated by all the fucking ladies. And it was never any disrespect to the woman. Never. I was just like, you know, I cared about my friends. But that's an assholish thing to do because I'm ripping the dream away from some woman that just wants to have her goddamn day in a dress. You know? That made me the asshole. For having, like, you know, the balls to sit and chat with one of my friends about, you know, a monumental event that will take place in his life. And that's a, you know, it's a bummer. Cause then you know, you can avoid this type of thing. You know, you try and be there as a friend and end up kind of looking like a little bit of a fucking dink, you know? This one, don't expect this money to compensate for everything. Remember, the divorce process is about compensation for your contributions to the marriage and attain some sort of financial security post-divorce for both you and your husband. Money will not undo the pain or betrayal you have felt. So if you feel the urge to take him to the cleaners, then I would invite you to ask yourself if you are letting your feelings in the present take over. Will you, hell feels no wrath like a scorned woman, I believe is the old saying. I might be butchering that, but you know, like it, when a woman is, it, she will burn down the fucking world around you to prove a point that doesn't even need to be made. You know, we get it. We're both upset. We want to both move on. Divorce is wild. It is a wild thing. You know, watching people just turn on one another is crazy. It's fucking crazy. I'd imagine there's some listeners out there that have been through a divorce or two, you know, due to whatever it may be, a little cheating, she's cheating, money, it's just not working anymore, you know. At that point, you know, when you get your heart ripped out of you, it sucks because you want to just fucking end that person. You just want to destroy them. Like, oh, you want to feel like you yourself are going in and just, it's full on warfare. The tanks are in the field. We got mortars fucking, you just want to throw the fucking Iron Dome up, you know, missiles, grenades, launchers, let's go and destroy everything. You want to feel like you're the IDF and bomb the shit out of hospital. You know, you don't care. You'd be like, well, that bitch was underneath the bed. So you blow up your own house, right? It's like, yeah, you fucking Hamas is under the hospital. That's why I destroyed the whole house. Because I found a pair of panties under the hospital. Financial sacrifices aren't the best way to say sorry. In some cases, spouses become too compliant and compromising because of their sense of guilt about the marriage ending. I have seen women whose marriage broke up because they had an affair blaming themselves for being at a divorce table. Out of guilt, they find it difficult to make claims and pursue adequate compensation for the financial sacrifices they made. This can lead to later regrets. Whew. Yeah, right. How many times, like, do you think like the self-realization in that moment hits just poof, all of a sudden, yeah, it was my fault. I wanted to fuck the neighbor. I seen him outside there watering his plants and he fucking, you know, he had those nice shorts on. All those nice shorts. They hugged just right. I could see the imprint of his hog. And I was thinking to myself, boy, I haven't felt something like that in a while. Invited him over for a nice nice glass of iced tea. Don't feel bad for taking part a share of his pension. While we might feel about splitting the value of other things equally, such as property, some women find it difficult to reach into their husband's pension, but that's his, they may say. It feels like a very personal money pot because the husband's labor contributed to it, and it was not a shared asset up until this point. However, it remains another asset that a woman might have a lesser of a chance to grow than the man. For many couples who don't have the, I like how they're really applying, like, it's making it sound like. The woman doesn't work. Like in this era that you and your wife don't both work. They make it sound like the dude is just like, it's a very, I'm confused in the era that they're setting this in, you know, like I don't believe that a lot of people out there are able to just carry the weight with one way, with a dude's wage. Whatever it may be. Now, in some circumstances, yes. Now, there's some guys out there killing it. But I'd say, like, the average guy, you probably need dual income to make it fucking make ends meet, you know? But they make it sound like the guy is the only one. And I know, like, my bias here as a fellow male is probably shining through. But it's just, like, that's the thing is, like, I feel bad for a lot of dudes. I feel bad for a lot of dudes, you know? It is a tough time. It is a tough time, you know? You want to be, like, you want to be the man. You want to, but the fucking world is just setting up walls in front of you. You know, you want to get financially set. You got dreams. You got a career. You're trying to bust your nuts, you know, and all it takes is like a few dumb mistakes. When in my youth, I wish, you know, it would have been nice to have like, somebody around just to like kind of lead you, kind of point you in the right direction. You know, it was an odd time. You know, I didn't really have a father around. It was kind of in and out. See your friends, you know, you got some older brothers and stuff like that. And you kind of see how they maneuver. But you're left with this like piece of your brain that the wisdom of a dude is just not handed down. So you like seek it from other like fictional characters or, you know, other fathers in the neighborhood. You just kind of witness on how they go about it. But I never really like aligned myself with anybody. So it's like tough to like navigate manhood when you don't have somebody to instill it in you. So like the young guys that have their old man around, and I know some people are like, well, my dad's an asshole. You know, I get it. Not all men were great. Not all men were meant to be great. But a good portion of them are, you know? Like, dude, it was a different era back then. Nowadays, like, men are fucking, hey, do you go to, like, fucking, it's acceptable to go to a therapy. In your grandpa's age, it was just like, you hit your wife, you know? Even in the old man's era, you know? Like, he grew up, like, if grandma got a little out of line, she'd get a slap. And that's what you've seen. It was like, and we got to get, like, then it was like, fuck, that isn't cool. You know, I don't want to do that. And so you just bury shit down. And I think that's what we were meant to do. You know, you don't want to be a burden. You don't want to be the guy. And then like divorce comes rolling around and you're just like, you got to take it on the chin. I liked when guys kind of had that a little bit, just a little bit of it. You know, it's not like men don't talk with one another, but they make it. You know, the fellas, we got our own way of discussing it with each other. And we talk in code and like, if one of your fellas isn't doing well, reach out to him. You know, he's not doing well. You can tell, you know, don't be the dickhead that sits back. Give him a call. There's nothing wrong with that. Dudes looking out for one another. We do it when we're all goosed up, right? Get a couple of fucking beers in you. Nothing wrong with being a man these days, boys, you know, like we can get together. Like I hung out with 7 random dudes that I've never met before on a Sunday night, just crushing beers, cracking jokes. And we fucking don't even know one another. And you're telling me that you can't just like pick up the phone and call one of your buds to see how he's doing. Get the hell out of here. Especially if they're going through something like a divorce as they're explaining this. And you know, you hear it's like a financial battle between two parties of like figuring out what goes where, who gets what, you lose this, you lose that, you lose this, you know, like in a system that's already stacked against the fellas, you know, just reading that makes me kind of physically upset a little bit, you know, just reading that has me like a little like, oh God, it pisses me off. You know, there's just things that I read right away. Like I just see the headline of something and I already know I'm going to be mad at it, but I dive in anyways, because it's like, what the fuck does this bitch have to say? You know, like well, that's misogynistic. Good. You know, good. Isn't it a compliment these days? Isn't it a comp? Well, that's misogynistic. It's like went from like womanizing fucking, you know, I just sat here. I wish I had somebody to argue with in here, you know? I wish I had somebody, because I sit here and I'm misogynistic and I explain to you like, nah, I don't even fucking, I can't even like sexualize young women. I can't. I just like, yeah, you catch a glimpse of something and you're like, you put it all on display and you catch a glimpse and then like, there's a moment. There's like a good, like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, and it hits you and you'd be like, fuck, that girl graduated like 2 years ago. Get out of here. What are you doing? Knock that off. Go sit in the corner. Go back to your little corner. You dumb dumb. Go into your, like, go hide in the shadows and go talk about fucking who had, like, how good McDavid is. Go do that. Go do that. Go talk about, oh, toe drag releases, you know? Go make some stupid fucking joke you haven't made in about 3 years to a brand new group of dudes who've never heard it before and run it all back. Bring out your greatest hits and make some friends. Make some memories. Have a chit-chat with these guys and go back. Get your fucking dirty eyeballs away from that. Grow the hell up, you son of a bitch. You know, that's how, boom, instantly. You want it? You want that little 22-year-old piece of ass taking half your shit? You don't even have any shit. The hell out of here. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Uncle Hack Podcast. If you want to support the show, head on over to patreon.com, patreon.com/DangerCat69. Link down in the description down below. Best way to support the show. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you tuning in. We doing good, boy. We're on tour tickets, dangercatshop.com, down in the description down below. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. Stay rad out there, dudes, my boys, my dogs.